بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue this second class on the pillar of Hajj, pilgrimage, and we discussed in the first class the introduction on the relationship between Hajj and Tawheed, and that Hajj, all of Hajj is Tawheed. And Hajj is a pillar of the pillars of Islam. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 97, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And Hajj to the house is a duty that mankind owes to Allah, those who can afford the expenses for one's conveyance, provision and residence. And in the hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, which is the hadith which is reported in Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in his sermon, أيها الناس, O people, إن الله فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا. Allah has ordained upon you Hajj, so make Hajj. And Hajj is an obligation once in one's lifetime. And also the Umrah in one's lifetime is one time. And the evidence for the Umrah being an obligation once in lifetime is one of the narrations in the hadith of Jibreel, when the Prophet ﷺ was answering Jibreel for some of the questions in the famous hadith, when he asked him about Islam. In one narration, al-Islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illallah, Islam is to testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Rasulullah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, wa tuqima as-salah, and that you establish the salah, wa tu'ti az-zakah, and you give the due alms, wa tahujj al-bayt wa ta'tamir, and that you make the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by visiting his house, and you make also the visit, the Umrah, and وَتَغْتَسِلْ مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ, and that you take a bath from janaba, from sexual defilement, وَتُتِمَّ الْوُضُوء, and that you complete the purification of wudu, the ritual wudu, the ritual purification, وَتَصُومَ رَمَضَان, and you fast Ramadan. This is reported by Ibn Khuzaymah and وَالدَّارَقُطْنِي with a sanad in sahih, with an authentic chain of narration. And one must hasten to perform the Hajj and the Umrah when the conditions are met. And it is also sunnah to make more than one Hajj and Umrah voluntarily. We know from the Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-umratu ila al-umra kaffaratun lima baynahuma wal-hajjul mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. The umratu umra is an expiation for in between them, and the hajj al-mabroor, the sincerely done hajj and acceptable hajj, has no reward except paradise. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 3, book 27, and hadith number 1. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 3, book 27, and hadith number 1. We know it's in the Sahihain, but this is sufficient, inshallah. As a reference, Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the Umrah is an expiation for sins committed between and the previous one, between it and the previous one. And the reward of Hajj al-Mabrur, which is accepted by Allah, is nothing except paradise. Yeah. And from the merits of Hajj, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is also agreed upon hadith, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked, what is the best of deeds? And he said, believing in the oneness of Allah and in His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was further asked, what is next? He said, fighting in the cause of Allah. What is next? He was asked, a sin-free Hajj. A sin-free Hajj, he answered. A sin-free Hajj. And also he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in the hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim as well, he who performs the Hajj without violating it with sexual activity or an act of disobedience would return home as sin-free as the day he was born. Would return home as sin-free as the day he was born. Now there are preconditions of Hajj. There are preconditions. First, Islam. First is Islam. The second is sanity. Sanity, al-aql. The second is, or the third is al-bulugh, adulthood. The third is al-bulugh, adulthood. The fourth is freedom. The fifth is capability, which is the physical fitness and financial affordability, which is known as al-istita'a, capability, the physical fitness and financial affordability. And six, the mahram for women. The mahram for women, meaning the non-marriageable men, husband and male siblings, who are unlawful to marry. And unmarriageable men by Sharia, husband and male siblings who are unlawful to marry. So this is a mahram, this is a precondition for women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is unlawful for a woman to travel without a mahram. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. It is unlawful for a woman to travel without a mahram. And accordingly, if there is a woman who is wealthy, then Hajj is not incumbent on her if she does not have a mahram. It is unlawful for a woman to travel without a mahram. This is the hadith. And so therefore Hajj is not incumbent on a wealthy woman if she does not have a mahram. And if someone is unable to perform the Hajj due to incapability, then in this case he may designate someone to perform the Hajj on his behalf. And this is evident from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, concerning the woman from the tribe of Khatam, where she said, Ya Rasulullah, my father as an old man, and he cannot stand stable on his mount, and he still has to perform the obligatory Hajj. Should I make Hajj on his behalf? He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Hujji an abiki." Perform Hajj on behalf of your father, and this is agreed upon hadith. And also in the case of someone who dies and did not perform his Hajj, and the evidence is in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that a woman, and this is in Sahih Bukhari volume 9 418, and a woman asked, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, my mother made a vow to perform Hajj, but she didn't until, you know, she died. Can I perform Hajj on her behalf? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Naam, Hujji anha, perform Hajj on her behalf. أَرَأَيْتِ لَوْ كَانَ عَلَى أُمُّكِ دَيْنٌ أَكُنْتِ قَاضِيَتَهُ. If your mother had been in debt, would you have paid her debt? He said, so you should pay what is for him, meaning for Allah, as Allah has more right. You should pay what is for him, as Allah has more right than that one should fulfill one obligation to him. But it is not valid for someone to perform Hajj on behalf of someone else while he didn't perform Hajj himself. And this is clear from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man saying, Labbayk an shubruma, Labbayk, O Allah, I respond on behalf of shubruma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hajajta an nafsik, did you perform Hajj for yourself? He said, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hujja an nafsik, perform Hajj for yourself, thumma hujja an shubruma, then perform Hajj on behalf of shubruma. One should know that Hajj has a specified physical stations as well as time stations. The time stations are the months of Hajj. And with respect to the physical stations for Hajj and Umrah, these are the ones which the Prophet ﷺ specified for the Ummah, and therefore it is not permissible for anyone who intends to perform Hajj and Umrah to bypass them without being in a state of Ihram. And in the hadith, of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and it is in Sahih Bukhari, volume 2, book 26, hadith 59, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set for the people of Medina the miqat, the station, are the months of Hajj. We didn't mention them, Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah. And with respect to the mawaqit, or these the places, the stations, for the people of Medina, the Hulaifa, and for the Hulaifa, and this is the station of residence of Medina, and those passing through it, and this is about 435 kilometers of Mecca to north of Mecca. And it's the furthest miqat station from Mecca. It also carries another name, which is called Abyar Ali. And the second is Al-Juhfa. Al-Juhfa. This is for Ahlul Sham, for the residents of the greater Syria, as well as those passing through them. And this is a village really located, so it is for the residents of Syria, greater Syria, and Egypt, as well as of those passing through them. And it's a village located near the city of Rabir, which is about 180 kilometers off Mecca. Nowadays, people enter from Rabir. And this was Al-Juhfa, this was a town which was destroyed by flood, and also a form of fever was inflicted upon the city after the Prophet ﷺ invoked Allah to move this fever from Medina to that place in the land of the Kuffar. And it was not suitable for the pilgrims, and people took a village near it, and this is Rabir, as a substitute, which is 180 kilometers from Mecca. The third is Qarn al-Manazil, which is the miqat for the people of Najd and Ta'if and those passing through them. This is also known as As-Sayl al-Kabir nowadays, which is about 75 kilometers off Mecca. 75 kilometers off Mecca. The fourth miqat station or place is Yalamlam, which is the miqat of the people of Yemen and countries aligned with it, and for those passing through them, and it's a valley which is 92 kilometers south of Mecca. And the fifth one is Dhatu Irq. Which is the miqat, the station for the people of the east, Iraq, Khorasan, as well as for those passing through them. And this is in fact a valley about 100 kilometers from Mecca. Now, those who are living within the radius of these stations may assume the ihram, enter the ritual from the place in which they live. This is important. As to the people of Mecca intending to perform Hajj, they may enter the ihram in Mecca itself. However, if the person is from Mecca and intends to perform Umrah, he may enter the ihram from any place outside the boundaries of the haram area of Mecca. Like, for example, he or she can go to Masjid Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Masjid Aisha in a place in Mecca known as At-Tan'im. It is not allowed for anyone intending to perform Hajj or Umrah to cross the Miqat, the station, without assuming the state of Ihram. And he, whoever does this, then he must return to the station to take the Ihram. However, he may assume the Ihram from wherever he happens to be, but this is required that he sacrifices as a sheep as an expiation. These stations were specified by the Prophet ﷺ, as in the Hadith, volume 2, 2650. 59. Did you check the hadith, please? From Bukhari. Okay. No, in Sahih Bukhari. Book 26, yes. Book 26. And volume 2. Now, that these stations, they are for the people at these very places, and besides them, for those who come from through those places with the intention of performing Hajj and Umrah, and whoever is living within these boundaries can assume the ihram from the place he starts. And the people of Mecca can assume the ihram from Mecca. Now, these are the mawaqit. The Prophet ﷺ made the mawaqit, the Ahl al-Madinah, Dhul-Hulayfa for the people of Medina, and Al-Juhfa for the people of Al-Sham, Greater Syria, and Qarn al-Manazil for the people of Najd, and Yalamlam for the people of Yemen. And these mawaqit are the people at those very places, and besides them, for those who come through those places with the intention of performing Hajj and Umrah, and whoever is living with these boundaries can assume ihram from the place he starts, and the people of Mecca can assume ihram from Mecca. Now, it's 599. As I said, 59. Okay. What are some of the things that are praiseworthy to do before Hajj and Umrah? First, that the believer should hasten to make sincere tawbah, sincere repentance from all sins and disobedient acts. And secondly, he should choose for his Hajj or Umrah halal provisions and halal means, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tayyib. Allah is tayyib, is good. He accepts only that which is good. And thirdly, he should build ikhlas, intention, sincere intention regarding his Hajj and Umrah, so he does not intend in it any kind of show off or looking for prestige, or to be said that he is a Hajj, one who performed Hajj, and to carry the title. Fourthly, to choose the good company, those who help him to do the good and incite him on that and cooperate with him on that. And fifthly, learn the rulings regarding Hajj and Umrah before leaving. This is very important, because this could, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save lives and protect the person as well, himself. A person who knows the rulings regarding Hajj and Umrah will be able to move between the different places with knowledge, and also with be doing the worship based upon knowledge, and this could make his Hajj an acceptable Hajj by Allah's will. Sixth, he should remind his family and his companions before leaving. Remind them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have taqwa. And seven or more, he should make abundant dua and istighfar on his journey. In terms of cleanness, one should clip the fingernails and the toenails, trim the mustaches, pluck or shave off the armpit and pubic hair, perform the wudu or a bath, a shower, which is preferable. What are the types of Hajj? There are three types of Hajj. First is Tamattu' Hajj. Hajj al-Tamattu'. And this means to enter the state of Ihram with the intention of performing the Umrah during the months of Hajj, with the intention to perform the Umrah during the months of Hajj. And once the pilgrim concludes the Umrah, then he may leave the state of Ihram and then enters on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, enters the state of Ihram with the intention of Hajj, performing Hajj. And in this case, he does not have to go to the Miqat to re-enter the state of Ihram for Hajj. He can do this in his residence in Mecca or in Mina. And this Hajj requires a sacrificial animal, Hadi. The second type of Hajj is the Qiran. The Qiran Hajj. In it, the pilgrim enters the state of Ihram to perform Hajj and Umrah jointly without an uninterrupted Ihram, or with an uninterrupted Ihram, without interrupting the Ihram, until one casts the pebbles on the day of the Eid and shaves off his head with respect to the man. And this also requires a hadi, a sacrificial animal. The third type of Hajj is the ifrad. This is to entering the state of Ihram to perform Hajj only. The best type of these three is the first. And there is also a strong opinion that supports its obligation, especially for the case when someone did not perform the Hajj before. If someone genuinely fears that he may not complete the rites of Hajj, then he may stipulate the condition. And this condition, as came from the hadith, Allahumma mahilli haythu habastani, which means, O Allah, my ihram will be terminated wherever you withhold me. What's the benefit of this? If this condition is stated, then this offers, then the pilgrim does not have to offer a hadi, nor does he have to return in the next year to perform the Hajj, unless it is his first Hajj. Remember, unless it is his first Hajj. If it is his first Hajj, and he must return in the next year to perform it. Is this clear? Now, entering the state of the ihram, when one reaches the miqat, then the entrance into the state of ihram is not to be verbal. Like, for example, saying, "Oh Allah, I intend to perform Hajj or Umrah, so make it easy for me." No. You already made the intention from the moment you left home. But then you specify the type of Hajj only. You enter the state of the type. You enter the state of the type, the ritual, entering the state of the ritual itself by specifying whether it is a tamattu' or qiran or ifrad. So now you begin the talbiyah, declaring your response. لبيك اللهم بعمرة. Oh Allah, here I am responding to you in performing Umrah. And talbiyah with Hajj, لبيك اللهم بحج. Oh Allah, here I am responding to you in performing Hajj. This is with respect to in case you perform the Umrah first and then you perform the Hajj next as in tamattu'. And with respect to the talbiyah with the second type, which is the Quran, you say them both together. لبيك اللهم بعمرة وحج بعمرة وحج. Oh Allah, here I am responding to you in performing the Umrah and the Hajj. And the person may add, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is authentically reported that he said, اللهم هذه حجة لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. Oh Allah, this Hajj of mine is free from رياء, show off and boosting. And in case of Umrah, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اللهم هذه عمرة لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. Oh Allah, this is Umrah, free of show off or boosting. So these are said at the time of entering the state of Ihram. Okay? At the time of entering the state of Ihram. Don't confuse it with the one which must be recited or said repeatedly until a pilgrim reaches certain points and times. These are to be said later. They are لبيك اللهم لبيك, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك, إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Here I am, O Allah, here I am. There is no partner with you. Here I am. Surely all praise and graces are yours, and so is the dominion. There is no partner with you. The Prophet ﷺ said this loudly and repeatedly up till the time he casted Jamrat al-Aqaba. When entering the state of the Ihram, you enter the state of Ihram from the Miqat. Men should not wear clothes that are sewn in way to wrap up the specific part of the body, like undershirt, underwears, head covers, hats and the like, gloves, socks, also the footwear that cover the heels is not allowed. As with respect to women, they should not wear gloves or niqab, النقاب, you know, this is the woman's face veil, which covers the soft or pliable part of the nose that extends as high as the circuit of the eye. This is the niqab. Also, she should not put a burqa, and the burqa is a piece of leather or cloth with which a woman veils her face, having in it two holes for the eyes. This is known as the burqa. There is no harm in covering her face in the presence of men, however. Leather or cloth. Leather or cloth. Some women put this, some women put that. So, when entering the miqat, when the person reaches the state of miqat, he can take, as we said, clean himself, taking a shower. And take off all these makhit, which are the sewn clothes which shape specific parts of the body, like the shirt and underwear and the like, with respect to men. The male can put the tib, the perfume, and Aisha said, as in the Sahihain, she said, I used the perfume, the Prophet ﷺ put the perfume on him before he makes the ihram and after he leaves the state of ihram, before making tawaf. No. But however, the person, the male, should not put the perfume on the ihram clothes. On the ihram clothes, no. On his garments, no. And we mentioned that he should clean, clip his mustache and armpits and the fingernails, clip the fingernails and the toenails, trim the mustache, plucking or shaving the armpit and the pubic hair. And he should put, the person should put the izar, the lower garment, and the upper garment with respect to the male. And we mentioned the niyyah, the intention, but not to be pronounced. This is just a reminder so that we come to the stage of talking about the prohibited things while in ihram now. While in ihram, then he should not take from his hair or trim or pluck or shave his hair from any part of the body, nor clip the fingernails or toenails, not to put perfume, not to wear perfume, not to engage in game hunting, in game, not to cover the head, not to consummate marriage, and not to have sexual intercourse. Also, one should not indulge in contacting women doing the sexual advances, or contact them, you know, in ways which may lead to it, such as the kissing and the fondling. So this applies to men and women, the prohibitions, except for the wearing of these clothes that shape the body part, which is not allowed, sewn in ways to shape the body part or specific body parts, like the underwear, undershirt. Now, with respect to the woman, she may wear any clothes that prescribes to the Islamic dress code, but she should cover her hair and face when she is in front of men. We stop here inshallah ta'ala, and we will talk about the arkan, the pillars of Hajj, and the wajibat of Hajj, and how to perform the Umrah and Hajj inshallah ta'ala in the next talk. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.